Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, traveling overseas. He's in Perth, Western Australia, on the other side of the universe. And we begin with questions about the climate in Australia this winter time. It's heavy rains last week. Perth has been part of the Western Australia drought that has extended to South Australia, always a concern. New weather patterns, old weather patterns. Gregory is a veteran of Perth and Western Australia, which I'm told when I talk to Sydney is another world. Gregory, how are you in another world? What is the weather for you in Perth? Good day to you.
Well, good day to you too, John. And yes, it is another world, thank God. Even from Sydney, people think that the Sydney and Melbourne are welcoming, warm Australian cities, but that's nothing compared to Perth and the Western Australian welcome you get. It's a very, very friendly place, and it's now midwinter, and the daytime temperatures are around 60 degrees, 65 degrees Fahrenheit, and sometimes cold mornings and cold evenings. And in the last few days, there have been some heavy rainfall, so the drought is certainly gone. We flew into very, very green fields and countryside, flying in over South Australia and then over the southwest of Western Australia to get to Perth. We're encountering beautifully green farmlands. So it's really very good. And the temperatures here for midwinter, it's like you would dream of in New York or Washington. So it's very, very pleasant. And the only problem, of course, is that the economy is starting to hit some bumps. There's been massive inflation over the past few years, and that's affected the economy. But the property prices here in Western Australia have gone up something like 24% in the last couple of years. So it's now virtually impossible for young families to buy homes here, and it's only going to get worse as the mineral boom declines, as we're seeing already, because of the massive decline in the Chinese economy. People are still trying to convince themselves that China is a rising economy and is going to be providing the wealth to Australia for the coming 50, 100 years. It's already over, and the impact, the economic impact, is starting to happen.
The Prime Minister's visit to Shanghai, was it considered a success with regard to selling raw materials to China?
Yes and no. It was ridiculed as a visit for a number of reasons, particularly because he took 6 days there, mainly as a holiday, and getting butted up by the People's Republic of China and their officials. He didn't achieve much other than to have the Chinese say that now that you're a good boy and have come back to the fold, we will ease some of our import restrictions on some Australian products. But the reality is that the Chinese market has not rebounded, so there will not be a substantial pickup in most of the Australian exports to China. And this now is the cause for the concern, because Australia's exports of minerals to China have been the driving force in Australia's prosperity in recent years, and that's over. The Chinese imports of Australian products are now down. So, yes, you might get a few more sales of seafood or agricultural products, but the problem is that the Chinese market itself has gone bust. And that's really affecting where Australia is going. And yet, Prime Minister Albanese, the hard left, Australian Labor Party Prime Minister, has bet a lot on what he thinks is balancing the relationship which Australia has between the People's Republic of China and the United States. And there's good reason in many respects for him to do that. It's about time Australia did voice an independent foreign policy, but it's not been based on practicality or even realism. The Prime Minister has failed to understand that whilst the economic dependency which Australia has on China has diminished, Australia's security risk from an erratic China has increased for the foreseeable future, in other words, the next 2 to 3 years. And what we've had recently have been huge exercises between Australia and its allies, but particularly with Australian and US forces. The regular Talisman Sabre exercises have been underway in the South Pacific, and those have been very helpful. And it shows that the working security relationship at a military-to-military level between Australia and the US is still extremely good. And you've had the Virginia-class attack submarines, the SSNs, coming into Western Australia for servicing. The first time that's happened outside of the US ever. And that started to occur last year. And in the last few days, we've seen an old boomer, the USS Ohio, which is converted to a guided missile carrier as opposed to a ballistic missile carrier. That just pulled into Brisbane in Queensland, in the up in the north east of Australia, for a visit to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea, and also to have some refurbishment. So that was a first there as well. So military to military, Australia and the US are functioning as well as ever, if not better. But the fate of the AUKUS alliance between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States is not progressing as it should be. For a start, there are problems with the first tenet, if you like, the first tier or pillar of the alliance, which is to transfer nuclear submarine technology from the US and the UK to Australia. That's not going well for a number of reasons, the first of which is the fact that the US cannot build enough Virginia-class submarines for its own Navy, let alone provide them for export, even though Australia has now put in billions of dollars into helping to redevelop and build up the US submarine industrial capability.
Gregory,
so Australia's pouring money into that.
I'm glad you bring up AUKUS right away, because it's bothered me for some time that I hear talk that AUKUS is in doubt. And I can't tell whether the talk is coming from Whitehall because of the troubles with the Labor government's budget, or from Washington because of a change of direction in the Pentagon, or from Canberra because of doubts about the contribution of the Albanese government to AUKUS. Can you tell where the doubts are from?
Yeah, the doubts are from everywhere. Firstly, you've got three heads of government in the US, UK, and Australia who are not, if you like, committed to exploring the possibilities of AUKUS. AUKUS could be the most significant new treaty in the world, giving, if you like, the US, Australia, and UK a capability to dominate the seas and airspace in the Arctic, the Antarctic, the Pacific, the Indian Ocean, the Mediterranean, and the Atlantic. And yet it's not being seen that way. It's merely being seen as this technology exchange for submarines and a few other technologies within the defense realm. The reality is that nobody is looking at it seriously. The U.S., President Trump has been expressing his disdain for the Australian Prime Minister, and the Australian Prime Minister has been basically expressing his independence, saying we're not going to be dictated to by the United States or any other power. And the UK itself absolutely riven with its own problems. Now, in the last week, you've had the AUKMIN talks, the Australia-United Kingdom ministerial talks, which are similar to the AUSMIN, which is the Australia-US ministerial talks, which involve the, for example, the Defence Secretary and the Foreign Secretary of UK or US, or the US, and their counterparts, the Foreign Minister and the Defence Minister of Australia. So the AUKMIN talks with the UK and Australia just took place, and they spent their time essentially talking about, are they going to recognize Palestine as a state, which has nothing to do with the substance of the alliances, the defense and security alliances. They also talked about, you know, had their support for Ukrainian forces against the Russians. So Prime Minister Albanese, whilst he's been talking a good game about stepping up Australia's defence, hasn't really undertaken or stepped up to his responsibilities in giving Australia an independent direction or an independent capability in the region, which is his responsibility. Nor has he looked at the Antarctic situation, which we talked about recently, where Australia has enormous responsibilities of a very pressing nature, and yet the Australian government has been ignoring that. So Prime Minister Albanese essentially talking big, doing nothing, but he is annoying President Trump enormously.
And your measure of AUKUS, it's still in place. They have not done anything formally to slow it down or blunt it. Is that correct?
That is correct. There are questions being raised in the U.S., of course, about whether the U.S. can go ahead with the submarine component of it, with the Australian relationship. But that's it. Officially, it's still all go. But the relationships between President Trump, Prime Minister Albanese, and Prime Minister Starmer are not good, to say the least.
Let's put it into practice, because there's a headline from New York that is surprising about Taiwan. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He's traveling. He's in Perth, Australia, his native Western Australia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.